listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back into another episode of Locked On Broncos. From the South Stands to the end zone, you guys are locked and loaded here on today's Tuesday episode of the show, February 18th. And Broncos country, as always, today's episode is dedicated to you, the listener, you, the fans, and Broncos country. I'm Cody Rourke, your host of today's episode. I'm an NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. I appear on Mile High Sports Radio and from time to time also KOA's Broncos Country Tonight, as well as other Denver media outlets and some national media outlets as well. You guys can catch me there all across the board, but every day here on the podcast. You guys can also follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL, and you guys can now add yourself to my contact list on my cell phone. We're interacting with Broncos fans all across the world, and join the hundreds of Broncos fans that have already added themselves to my contacts list. I've been texting with them. If you don't believe me, go back and check on Twitter. Everybody's enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it because it gives me the opportunity to interact with you guys one-on-one, and anytime there's any Broncos news, NFL news that I get, I will publish it out to you guys first and foremost before I post it out on social media, on Twitter. It gives you guys a little bit of an advantage to get some up-to-date news as to what's going on with your favorite Denver Broncos team. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you can text me and add me to your contacts at 303-529-6323. Join the hundreds of Broncos fans in doing just that. And that's going to be the theme of today's show. We're going through listener text messages, a lot of questions asked by amazing Broncos fans all across Broncos country. We're going to break it all down here on today's episode of the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's dive right into the action right here, right now. We're going to start things off with my guy, Jesse Taylor. Now, Jesse asked the questions. He says, not necessarily a Broncos-related question, but do you see anybody that could fly up the draft boards at the NFL Combine? There's always one that makes a big jump. I'm going to take a look with the receiver theme. I think Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State, I think Jalen Reagor could definitely rise up the boards a little bit. Some considering late first round, early second round, mid second round for some of those guys. I don't really quite know, to be honest with you, all the players that I think could rise up the board. I'm just taking a look at guys that I've looked at extensively. I do believe those are two guys at the wide receiver position that could do that. You also have to take into consideration some of the guys that are projected as first round picks. Some of them could drop. I mean, Laviska Shenault is one of those guys that was projected as a first round pick for the NFL draft, but he's currently been diagnosed with a medical issue called osteitis pubis. And if you don't know what that means, that is something that regards to the inflammation of the pubic bone and the muscles that attach there. And it really has a lot to do with some groin pain, something he played with extensively in 2019. I can tell you this, based on playing and dealing with the groin injury before, it is very difficult because you could rest for 2 to 3 weeks. All of a sudden, you go back out on the football field, you backpedal, you open up your hips, and all of a sudden, bam, you have that shooting pain once again, and it sucks. It is very difficult. And so I think for Laviska Shenault, it might drop him down the big boards a little bit for some NFL teams. He may not be a first round pick, which is absolutely, you know, it sucks. He's a first round talent, but I think people are going to be very concerned with the medical condition. And obviously a big shout out to at the Fantasy PT Matthew Betts for a little bit of a deeper dive as to what this is. He says the best treatment for this is rest and avoiding what led to the injury, which is running, jumping, cutting, heavy strength training. The most important part is avoiding aggravating factors, and failing to do so will prevent healing, which could definitely linger when it comes to a groin issue. So Jesse, those are kind of my responses there to your question, my friend. Happy Tuesday. Hope all is well with you. Our next question is going to be coming from Jeff Greidel. He says, would you trade back with Miami to pick number 26 for their second round pick at number 39? And would you select Reagor with pick number 26 and Gladney at pick number 39? Two TCU guys, or what selections would you look at there? To be honest with you, I don't know, Jeff. I think for me, I'm going to stay put at pick number 15. But if I had to maybe put myself in a position to be at pick 26 and have pick 39 for the second round, I mean, obviously having an advantage, maybe get wide receiver and cornerback, which are two evident needs for this Broncos team. I do like Jalen Reagor. Look, Henry Ruggs won't be there at pick 26 if that was the case. Jalen Reagor could rise in the draft boards for a lot of NFL teams. I would pick Jalen Reagor. He'd be my selection. I like that you actually mentioned Gladney because I love his play at cornerback. He is a physical corner and he has a lot of heart. He reminds me a lot of a guy by the name of 25, Chris Harris Jr. on this Broncos team. Now, obviously a lot of room to grow for him, but Gladney would be a pretty good pickup, in my opinion, for the Broncos in round number two. So, Jeff, thank you for your text message. Happy Tuesday, my friend. My buddy Drake Riccardi says, any free agent targets that the Broncos should look at? He says, I hear a lot about Darius Slay or Jones or Stephon Diggs. Which one would you like to see in the orange and blue? And we talked about it on yesterday's episode of Locked On Broncos. I would love Stephon Diggs in a Broncos uniform. I think it would bring their expectations offensively a little bit higher than what they have been. But I tell you this too, if the Broncos really do lose out on Chris Harris Jr., which is a possibility, there is a chance that he might not come back to Denver. I think he's going to play out all his options, and Denver is a place that he'd like to stay, but it depends on how much money the Broncos and general manager John Elway are willing to offer him. And I'll answer a question related to that coming up here in just a few moments. But Drake, in terms of looking at Darius Slay, I go back and I watch what he did in 2019. There was a couple games I caught from the Detroit Lions, obviously the Denver Broncos game being one. I caught the LA Chargers on the road at Detroit. I think he's a pretty good corner. Would he be a fit in the Vic Fangio defense? I think so. I think they would do a lot of things for him. I think Vic Fangio would put him in a position to be very aggressive, to play a lot of press, where you play off coverage on the opposite side of wherever you're lining him up. I go back to the battles that he had with the Broncos this past season. I thought that he did a pretty good job on Cortland Sutton. Those guys had a really tremendous battle, and I would love to see that at training camp when we're up there close and personal. I'd love to see those guys duel and go at it a little bit further. I think Darius Slay would be an intriguing prospect for the Broncos, but the talk is obviously $15 million average per year. That's the talking price right now for a guy like Darius Slay, and obviously it would involve a trade. And the Broncos were rumored. There were some contact by the Broncos and the Lions at the NFL trade deadline of swapping Chris Harris Jr. and Darius Slay. Things fell through. Obviously, the Detroit Lions, they wanted a higher draft pick in exchange for Darius Slay, so they weren't willing to just swap corner for corner. They wanted a higher mid-round draft pick for them in order to go through with that trade. The Broncos were not looking to buy at that time, but Darius Slay is an intriguing prospect, and the Broncos could revisit that trade scenario. Definitely, they could definitely do that. So, Drake, I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much. Our next question comes from David Hyman. He says, Austin Ford, he looked good in preseason and could form a good tandem with Noah Fant. How is his recovery coming along, and do the Broncos view him as a guy that they can compete with? To be honest with you, David, being there at training camp and seeing Austin Ford, he was one of the most impressive tight ends at the training camp period alongside Bug Howard. I'm not quite sure where he's at. I mean, obviously, it's been a while since he had his ACL surgery. I reached out to Austin Ford, have not heard back from him yet. I imagine his recovery is coming along relatively nicely. Obviously, a guy that played over at Wyoming, physical, sizable guy, tore his ACL. I believe it was in the Hall of Fame game, if I'm not mistaken. It looked like a bad play, too, because he jumped up, his knee hyperextended. I remember it. I felt bad for him. I relate. I've torn my ACL before, and it sucks. But Austin Ford, I would like to see the Broncos bring him back for training camp. I think he could be a guy that could compete. I think with guys like Troy Fumagalli, I think Bug Howard's going to be back in the mix for the Broncos to compete in training camp for maybe that third tight end spot. We know that the Broncos are looking at Jake Budd. They have Jeff Heuerman. They got a lot of tight end stock right now in terms of the active roster, injured reserve, and the practice squad area. So I don't know how things are going to play out. I imagine some guys are probably going to get released. But I would definitely like to see Austin Ford get another look in the orange and blue going into the 2020 season. And Broncos Country, that is the first round of questions that we've gotten to today. Obviously, some great questions from David, from Drake, from Jeff, from Jesse. And we're going to continue on with our questions coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys that if you want to advertise your business here on Locked On Broncos and you're a listener of the show, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Broncos is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Broncos fans just like you. And unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners, not just any podcast listeners, a local Locked On podcast listener. And if your company wants to connect with Broncos fans in a predominantly male audience that is well educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On Broncos podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses, so text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. And we look forward to hearing from you. All right, continuing our theme of the day here on Text Message Tuesday for Broncos Country, and we are interacting with everybody. One of the things that we had here, Jim Ashley had just reached out to me at 681-JIM on text message. This is just recent as we're recording. He says, I'm hearing rumors that the Broncos could be a potential landing place for Cam Newton. Any thoughts on that, Jim? There are no truths to that at this point in time. Now, we know that the Carolina Panthers are undergoing a complete massive rebuild down there. Obviously, with Matt Rhule getting a 7-year contract extension, some guys are available, but the Broncos are not going to be linked to a guy like Cam Newton. They're not going to be linked there at all. The Broncos are invested on Drew Lock and building with him and seeing if he can be the guy in 2020. You bring in a guy like Cam Newton, it kind of brings that narrative down to a halt. It doesn't make any sense at that point. So, Jim, there is no truth to that rumor here. 100% not happening for the Broncos here. And so we're going to continue off our questions here. My man, Frank Sildano. He says, any update on the Chris Harris Jr. contract talks? Really nothing yet. I mean, obviously his agent, they're going to prepare some stuff coming forward, probably towards the end. I believe it's 2 weeks after the NFL scouting combine. I believe agents can start making contact with NFL teams, initial offers, so on and so forth. Teams can do the same, vice versa, but nothing can be accepted or agreed to or official till the 18th of March. As of right now, there is no update on the contract status of Chris Harris Jr. and the Denver Broncos. One of the things we want to keep an eye on is what the rest of the market is going to get. Now, is Chris Harris Jr. going to be a guy that takes the highest deal once it's made to him and his team? I mean, he's going to see some offers from some pretty good teams, some teams that are obviously maybe contenders in need of a cornerback position. I know there's an AFC West divisional rival that would love to have him. Two AFC West teams, the Raiders and the Chiefs, would have interest in Chris Harris Jr., but obviously I think the Chiefs might be on the outside looking in due to the fact that they have their own kind of contract scenarios with salary cap and retaining some of their guys that were critical for them to get to Super Bowl 54 and obviously win that. The Las Vegas Raiders are another team that could have interest in Chris Harris Jr. They need another cornerback opposite of Trevon Mullen. It would be scary if Chris Harris Jr. goes to another AFC West team, but there was a reality that could happen. It depends on money talks, and I think there's a big appeal for the Las Vegas Raiders going to Vegas now. They're going to be big, a new team that's going to attract some attention for free agents that want to go play in Las Vegas where, you know, sports gambling is now legal, which is kind of scary for how the NFL game works. You never know, considering the fact that officiating right now in the NFL is very, very suspect. It's very troubling, in my opinion. So I don't know how that would work out, but as of right now, nothing official yet on Chris Harris Jr. and the Denver Broncos. I know that the Broncos will make an initial offer. It's going to be up to his agent, Chafee Fields, to fill that and see what Chris Harris wants to do. And it gives the Broncos an opportunity for other teams to make a contract offer, and then they can see if they want to match it or not. But as of right now, nothing in terms of getting the ball rolling there for the Denver Broncos and Chris Harris Jr. So something to see as we are just about a month away, officially today, a month away from NFL free agency kicking off. I'm excited about it, and I hope you guys are as well. We'll be doing free agency frenzy over here, Locked On Broncos. Next question comes in from our good friend Nick Maloney. He says, is there interest in trading for Darius Slay again? I would say initially there is some interest there for the Broncos. I think they're really waiting and seeing what goes on with Chris Harris Jr. Now, if the Broncos lose out on Chris Harris Jr. in free agency, he decides to go to another team. I think the Broncos become serious callers and inquirers when it comes to Darius Slay and the Detroit Lions, and they have time to be able to flex, maybe create a deal, maybe involve some draft picks to give some capital to the Detroit Lions, but the Broncos would look to acquire a cornerback of some similar stature, and I think that Darius Slay would be a really good fit on the outside corner position for the Broncos in a Vic Fangio-style defense. I think he'd be a great fit, to be honest with you. Probably the best fit overall. I think Chris Harris Jr. wants to go to a team where he can play in the slot, and the Broncos were thrown into a little bit of a pickle last year due to him being on the outside due to injuries to Bryce Callahan, so I think that's going to be something we're going to take a look at going forward. I think for the Broncos, they got a tough decision to make, and obviously a lot of it's going to be predicated off of what Chris Harris Jr. and his agent want to do, and they're not going to wait around. If he's going to go to another team, they're going to look at replacing him right away fairly quickly. They're probably not going to look to the NFL draft to do just that. So Nick, that's the answer to the first part of your question. Second part of his question says, how active in free agency do you think that they will be with the big amount of cap space? Super aggressive like when they built the 2015 defense, and what guys do you think that they want to re-sign? Nick, to be honest with you, I'm a big believer in the fact that if you have a lot of money, you don't always have to spend all of it, and I think that the Broncos are looking to be financially efficient. Now, I think that one thing we heard John Elway say is, look, we want to take a look at the pie, we want to see how people fit in there, and we want to take care of guys that want to be here, the in-house guys first, and there's a variety of guys. Derek Wolfe wants to be back. Justin Simmons definitely wants to be back. Will Parks would love to be back. I think overall the Broncos are going to take a look at those guys first, and I think they're going to take care of those guys. Now, that's going to obviously eliminate some cap space there. I think that the Broncos are going to be really taking a look at maybe making one or two signings. I don't expect them to be major players in the free agency period based on people that I've spoken to, but look, it's February. Things can change leading up to March, and the Broncos have been very tight-lipped, actually, in terms of the front office as to what their plans are. We have a little bit of a basic outline. John Elway wants to take care of the major needs of this team in the free agency period to not be able to reach during the NFL draft. He wants to be able to select the best player available. So I think that the Broncos are going to take a look at some of those major holes in free agency, whether it be in-house guys or out-of-market guys that are currently not in Denver. And I do think that they're going to take a look at definitely priority number one, Justin Simmons, re-signing him, bringing him back. I think they're going to make a strong emphasis push on bringing Derek Wolfe back, paying him something that he would like. I do think that the Broncos might lose out on Shelby Harris, which is unfortunate. He's a good friend of the show, great human being. He deserves to get paid, and I think he's going to get paid by another team. The Indianapolis Colts are a team that will have interest in him. I also think that the Green Bay Packers, in my opinion, become a team as well that could utilize the services of Shelby Harris. Now, our next question comes in from a Kansas City Chiefs fan. And this is probably one of the most civil Chiefs fans I've interacted with, obviously outside of Ryan Tracy and Chris Clark over there, Locked On Chiefs. And Dan Andrews, always giving great interaction, always listens to the show. I appreciate that. He says, expectations of fans for 2020, the Broncos going to the playoffs, what kind of record, win the division, Super Bowl, question mark, currently plus 5,000 odds for the Broncos to win the Super Bowl. To be honest with you, Dan, I think Broncos fans are going to take it one game at a time. I think that's the best approach, patience, and I think there's a lot of excitement brewing in Broncos country, and I think Broncos fans have every right to be excited about what the Broncos could be. We saw them have a promising end to the season in 2019, going 4-1 with Drew Lock as their starter. They didn't have a lot of weapons around him at that time, so if they add some, I'm going to be really intrigued to see how things carry over. You add in an experienced offensive play caller in Pat Shurmur. You add an experienced quarterback coach in Mike Shula. I think that can bode well for Drew Lock's development, and the Broncos are going to be very patient with that, and certainly he's won the right to be the starter for 2020. But as of right now, playoffs, I think that the expectation for the Broncos coming into the season, their main goal is to compete and try to win the division. That's going to be their goal. It's going to be tough. The Raiders are going to be tough. The Chiefs are going to be tough. The Chargers could be tough, I think, really depending on their quarterback situation there. So Dan, thank you for your question as well, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, that is part two of our question series here. Text Message Tuesday, Locked On Broncos. We're going to continue on with the amazing interaction from you, the listeners of the show, on the text message thread at 303-529-6323. You can add yourself to my contact list as well, but I also want you guys to check out all the other Denver sports here on the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On Avalanche, hosted by Chris Maselli. You also have Locked On Rockies with baseball season starting up. Jenna Garcia brings you the daily dingers of all things Colorado Rockies related, plus the Denver Nuggets, Locked On Nuggets, hosted by Adam Mades. You guys can catch all the action here on the Locked On Podcast Network for a Denver sports team. You already listen to Locked On Broncos. Add the other Denver sports to your daily lineup. All right, Broncos country, continuing our questions, our text messages from you, the listeners, and our next one comes from Josh Giannato. He says, what do you think is the best option for adding weapons at wide receiver? Do you think it should be done in free agency or the NFL draft? He says, I think free agency is a short-term option and drafting is a longer-term option. And Josh, you are spot on, 110% correct. Really, when you take a look at it, free agency or trade is a short-term option for adding some weapons there to the Denver Broncos. The NFL draft, you're going to look at a guy that you can develop to be maybe a guy on your roster for a long period of time. I mean, the Broncos, when they brought in Cortland Sutton, he rose to stardom in his rookie season right away, had a great training camp, had a great spring practice, OTAs, and rose onto the scene his rookie season as a guy who's really good at jump balls. Entering his second year, he evolved as a route runner. He became more complete. He's continuing to grow and evolve. I think the Broncos, they could get a guy, especially if it's a Henry Ruggs or Jalen Rager or a Brandon Ayuk, which I think are realistic options for them at this point in time. Is it going to be a 15? Maybe if it's Ruggs later on in the second round, possibly the Broncos could trade back in a round one if they really want another guy. And Benjamin Albright of KOA, Broncos Country Tonight, had also mentioned that the Broncos could select two wide receivers in the top 100 slate of the NFL draft coming up here in April. And so I think those are all options that are on the table. But usually free agency, you want to bring a guy in that has experience that could provide you with a fix. And obviously that would be a short-term fix unless he balls out, gets a contract extension in the NFL draft. You want to bring in a guy who has a lot of talent that you can develop, and he can rise up the board. He can help out in the return game, special teams. I think that the Broncos were looking really at Juwan Winfrey as one of those guys, and unfortunately in 2019, we didn't get to see too much of him, but I do think that the Broncos could continue to develop a guy like Winfrey for the Broncos, but I would really love to see them select wide receiver in the first round or even in round number two of this year's NFL draft. So thank you, Josh, for your question there, my friend. Anthony Peters, good friend of the show here. He says, how do you like Kendall Fuller from the Chiefs as a potential free agent option for the Broncos? He says, I like the fact that he's only 25, and I think he could definitely help our secondary. When I look at Kendall Fuller, I think a lot of Logan Ryan as well. I think that he could be somebody that jumps into the mix for the Denver Broncos. I don't know if the Chiefs are going to take a look at re-signing him. I think, obviously, they are looking at a cornerback one. They need that. That's something that Ryan Tracy of Locked On Chiefs had mentioned. Goes as a big team need for them going into the 2020 league year. I do think that Kendall Fuller could be a good fit for an Ed Donatell, Vic Fangio style of defense. Him and Bryce Callahan, I feel like, could really complement each other. If you bring in Devontae Bosby, you bring him back. I believe he's another guy that could fit the piece. I think the Broncos could have some DBs that could be versatile to play multiple positions, not just the corner position. They could play in the nickel. They could play, you know, they could play safety. They could rotate different pieces around the field. I think that's what the Broncos look for. I know in history, looking at Ed Donatell and looking at Vic Fangio, they like guys that could that aren't just one-trick ponies defensively. They can help you in multiple areas and allows you to create certain packages that can match up with different threats. And I think the Broncos' big emphasis this offseason, how do they slow down Kansas City? How do they cover Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman inside the division? That becomes the biggest question I think that the Broncos are going to try to find a solution for, and I think that cornerback is going to be one. And I think Kendall Fuller, obviously having some experience going against the Chiefs and practice every day going against Tyreek Hill, if you were to come over and be a Denver Bronco, it would give the Broncos a little bit of an advantage as well. They can have an idea of maybe how to stop things or what to look for. Certainly that experience never hurts, Anthony, and thank you for your question. Our next question comes from Justin Hurd at 5280NFL on Twitter. He says, if Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, and Paxton Lynch were all sinking in a boat and you only had time to save one, what kind of sandwich would you make? I might get a lot of hate from this. I liked what Brock Osweiler did for the Broncos, and we reflected a couple of weeks ago where he was at as a guy who's now retired, reflecting on he wishes he would have done things differently in Denver. I'm very grateful for what he was able to do. I mean, without Brock Osweiler, the Broncos don't get the one seed in the AFC. They don't make it to the Super Bowl in 2015. He did a lot of things. He put the team on his back in situations, and he came up big, and I'll never forget that New England Patriots game on Sunday Night Football, snowing in Denver. He hits Andre Caldwell for that touchdown. That was a huge play. Brock Osweiler was a gamer for the Broncos. Unfortunately, he listened to his agent and he wishes that he didn't do that. I like him, and I also like Trevor Siemian as well. I think Trevor Siemian gets a lot of hate for him to come in as a seventh round guy. I mean, he beats out your first round pick. That is obviously a big question mark for Paxton Lynch and the Broncos organization in hindsight. It's definitely not a good look. But Trevor Siemian, for being a seventh-round guy, going 9-7 and actually winning the Broncos some games, and certainly there were things that he needed to evolve on and improve on, but Trevor Siemian is actually a pretty decent quarterback. And to be honest with you, I would love if he was a backup to the Broncos' Drew Locke. I would love if he was a backup, but obviously right now that's not going to be a scenario that's floated out there as he's currently a New York Jet. But I think that Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, they get a lot of hate, and I think some of it might be warranted. I know Brock Osweiler, him leaving, that warrants a little bit of that. But outside of that, a lot of respect for those guys. I would probably try to save both of those guys. In terms of what kind of sandwich I'd make, grilled cheese. That's my go-to. I love grilled cheese tomato soup. That is the meal of the winter and the spring. And you guys should actually do that tonight for dinner. I hope I inspire one of your dinner concepts for the evening. So Justin, thank you for your question, my friend. And our next one comes from my good friend, Curtis Jones. He says, how fast is Stephon Diggs? Does he run under a 4.3? No, he ran, I believe, a 4.46, if I'm not mistaken. You know, he's fast. He doesn't have that burner type speed, but he's got that versatile, elusive speed, especially after he catches the ball. And one thing I love about him, and this is where Minnesota really utilized him, they would run him on deep crossing patterns. They'd run him on dig routes, one-step slants, three-step slants. His ability to get away from people is good. Once he gets that football in his hand, he becomes hard to tackle. He does have a little bit of elusiveness to him, but does he have that burner speed to get behind defense? chances. Not necessarily, unless a corner is trying to play trail technique underneath, and he has the opportunity to get away from them a little bit there. So Curtis, to answer your question, he's not under a 4.3 speed, but he's pretty dang good in my opinion. And then our last question of the day comes from our good friend Ryan Mack. He says, who is worth the Broncos using the late round picks to trade for some players in the league rather than a risky draft player? To be honest with you, Ryan, I think that we talked about it yesterday. I think that Stephon Diggs, the Broncos should find a way to trade for him. That's my firm, honest opinion. I think that he could add a next level to this Broncos offense. It would obviously be another weapon opposite of Courtland Sutton, which, look, the Broncos need. And if Noah Fant can develop into a playmaking tight end, look, the Broncos have three weapons in the receiving game there, plus they could add one in the NFL draft with Henry Ruggs. You got to have weapons in this day and age in the National Football League offensively. You got to be able to put points up. We've seen that. The NFL game has transitioned to where offenses need to put points up. The NFL is making the rules to where, look, we want high-scoring games, and we want a lot of big plays. We want big touchdowns. We want guys to go all the way down the football field, score 54 points and 48 points respectively, referencing the LA Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs game from last season. That's what the NFL wants. And for the Broncos, they didn't really have any success last year in terms of scoring points. And I think that's something that the Broncos are highly invested in going into the 2020 league year. So I'd say Stephon Diggs, or even, like I said, defensively, taking a look at a guy like Darius Slay. I think the Broncos, if they lose out on Chris Harris, you got to go all in on maybe getting a guy like Slay, because I think he could be a guy that could come in and add tremendous value to this Broncos defense alongside Vic Fangio. And Broncos country, that'll do it for today's episode of the show. Completely dedicated it to you, the listeners, on our text message line. You guys can text me, and you guys can also add yourself to my contacts list. And please listen carefully. If you're listening to the show, you're on the fence about it, we answer your questions here. We answer them on text message. You get a chance to interact with me one-on-one, and I absolutely love doing that. It's been fun texting with the hundreds of Broncos fans. There's been a lot. So my thumbs have been busy. They're a little sore from texting, but you can add yourself to my contact list by sending me a text message at 303-529-6323. Don't forget to add yourself to my contacts and get in on all the action. We're going to be doing this every single week here on Locked On Broncos. On Tuesdays, your questions will always be read here on Locked On Broncos. With that said, Broncos country, I'm Cody Rourke, your host of today's episode, and I will see you tomorrow once again for a brand new episode of the show.